Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Damn it, Brad, and the five times bigger enough to join us, the superstar at his regular spot, thanks to Marnong Estate for panoramic views of the Macedon Ranges, authentic Italian cuisines and estate-grown wine tastings. Visit Marnong Estate. Welcome to you, Damn. Great to have you on.
Hey, Drano, how are you going?
I'm good. You got a solution for the best way to get through these buy rounds? We've got 4 weeks of them. Is that the best way? There's no perfect way, is there?
I don't know if there's a perfect way, but a month of buy round seems a little long for most of us. So, they've got to take into everything the rationalisation across a weekend as well, and then the reintroduction, you know, in the back half of the year of Thursday night football as well. So, yeah, I think we could probably still improve on the way to get through this part of the season.
So, and in terms of getting through this part of the season, I understand you're even getting a little bit of sun at some stage, Derm. Is that right?
What do you mean, getting a bit of sun?
Oh, I just hear you're going to get that hair blonded a bit and be taking in a bit of sun, just making sure you sneak a bit of the warmer weather.
No, each year we also both of us work for Foxtel. And
yes.
Each year that passes, they put out the roster and they say, anybody want to go to Darwin? None of you blokes put your hands up to go to Darwin and actually turn up and do it. I actually say to myself, well, you know what? It's a chance to get a bit of warmth into your bones for 24 hours. So I'm prepared to make the five-hour flight to go up there, call the game, and then make the five-hour flight coming back. It just puts a bit of warmth into your bones. There's nothing wrong with that.
Check out Mabry when you get up there, Derm. Mabry is the place. My son's been gigging at Mabry. He's been turning on the shows at Mabry. They've been sending him up there to put on his piano bar show. So check out Mabry when you get there. He's just got back from there last night. Anyway, it's a little sideline. Enjoy Darwin. I'm looking forward to you telling me what Darwin's like when you get back from there. It's about 31 degrees and beautiful humidity at the moment. Massive weekend of footy coming up. There's a heap of other stuff to get to before we talk the footy. Damien Harbick, what have you made of the week?
Look, it was a bit of a surprise when it first came out. You sort of hear of guys... when this came up, and there you go. That's the quote that we keep replaying of me. I'm not surprised, but I'm not shocked, but I'm surprised. A-Rod keeps playing that one. There was a bit of genuine surprise about Damien Hardwick, but once again, when you sit down and you think logically about something, it made sense that he would say, that's about it. I mean, we've all... you know, been asked to say whether you're doing sprint training, whether you're doing pre-season training, and you're conditioning, and bloke says, all right, one more 400 metres, and then you fall over the line, and then the coach says, no, make them do one more. That one more, when you think you've reached the line, can be soul-destroying. And I think it got to that stage with Damien. There was one more 400 pre-season to be sprung on him. He probably, you always know it's difficult and it's hard, but he probably thought, I don't have enough in the tank to reload to this extent this time around. So it should be with somebody who's prepared to reload and go this hard on a retuning of this team.
So who do you think would be best suited as the next Richmond coach? An experienced, an inexperienced, a new guy? Who do you think is the best fit that they need right now for 2024?
It's weird that you say that, Dwayne. And having been, had the fortunate, whether fortunate or unfortunate circumstance of being at a football club in the board director's role several times, three times when new coaches were chosen, you enter into it thinking, we've got these parameters, which new coach, old coach, and we the media sort of put those guidelines out there and say that this club needs a seasoned coach. They can't have this happen again. We do that in the media. Footy clubs, they'll make up their own direction that they think they want to go. But by and large, when it comes to crunch time and picking the person, they'll go for the person they think is the best coach available. There is occasions they say, we're a young list, we've got time, we can afford to take on an untried coach right now. Yes, and you do. I always thought that a lot of football club board members buy themselves time on the board, not just the coach, but by going for a first-time coach. 7 or 8, 9 years into Alistair Clarkson's journey, there was this whole thing about find the new Clarkson. Go for a first-time coach. And everybody wanted first-time coaches. When Mick Malthouse, previous to that, went back to Collingwood, it was all about find a hard taskmaster who knows the landscape and has done it before. And there was a real push for second-time-around coaches. Personally, I think the best coaches coach in their second stint at a club. So they've been somewhere else. They're good at what they do, even the first time, but they've learnt a few lessons along the way the first time. And I think their second appointment at another club is when most of the really good coaches go, well, there's blokes who break that rule, I know that and understand that. The mould can be broken. But by and large, I think some of our great coaches, are second-time-around coaches.
Got a name then who you think is the top of the queue when it comes to second-time-around coaches?
Oh, yeah.
Bucks, Leper.
Kingsley got one up first, didn't he? First up try for him. He's probably the last. I know that if Port Adelaide let Ken Hinckley go, and there was a little bit of murmurings, and there is always, we hear scuttlebutt and we hear talk. There was a bit of murmurings that some within Port Adelaide had earmarked Ken Hinckley not to get through to 2024. There was a whole list of clubs queuing up to say, we want him. And then you've got the other principle. You say, well, if they're out of a job, they're not the best person. So try and pinch somebody else. Mm. But it's a weirdish landscape because at least in other elite football codes, there is a massive league underneath their major league. So you could like in America, the college system, there's so many of those great college coaches have already been earmarked for a professional outfit in the American Football League. So many coaches that coach in Europe are earmarked to then go and play a coach in the Premier League in England. So there's a tiered system where you know what you are getting within reason, but you do know what you are getting by and large. Ours is a different system because if you go for a first-time coach, he's never done it before. The pathway for us is a bloke who comes from being an assistant coach, a line coach, which is such a different job description to being a head coach. So we're flying blind in our system. I don't know if we'll ever get to a format where we'll find coaches in the VFL who can rise straight into the AFL as coaches. I don't think we'll have that. The days of saying Jack Cale's the best coach outside of the AFL and he's coaching Port Adelaide, let's get him to coach in the AFL. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. they want to promote from within their own league somebody who's had hands-on experience and sat side on to a great coach and has the and knows the cogs and the machinations that go with coaching in AFL. So it's we're a weird science the way we pick our coaches.
So Michael Voss is a second time around coach and he's got a big task tomorrow night. Who is tomorrow night? Carlton, Sydney, do you think, Dan?
Carlton, if they're worth their salt. Sydney have got some real problems personnel-wise. They haven't got a lot behind the ball. They're not moving it all that well. They tending to hack it a little bit forward at the moment. Some people have been quite into them. I think they're still playing pretty brave. They're quite a solid, contested outfit, although that's even dropped away a bit also. They just don't have the personnel there. They've really been out on the Napoleonic crusades, haven't they? They've run into battle after battle over the last few years, and then they ran into that massive battle last September. I don't think it's, you know, people say, oh, they haven't recovered from that, but it's more the personnel they're putting out there. So I can't see their personnel beating Carlton's personnel. If they all play to their best, and once again, we put if in front of most sentences when we're talking about AFL, if most of those players play to their best, Carlton should win. You close the season down for Carlton if they don't.
How's your old Hawks going, Derm? You've lost the CEO. There's been so many stories outside of what's happening on the field with Hawthorne. How are they going?
Well, we're pretty pleased with the way they're going on field. What I'm really liking as an ex-player what Sammy's doing on the field. I think most of the football world, even though Hawthorn sat on the bottom for a few weeks there, I think most of the football world would be in agreement. You've got your top 15, well, top 15, 15 clubs sit above them. Then there's Hawthorn, a little bit of daylight, and then North Melbourne and West Coast Eagles. I think they're a little half step better than both those teams. The thing we like about Hawthorn is we got clear and precise direction of the personnel that we want to be playing with as we go forward. So we're seeing kids come through. We're seeing the regeneration of players who are getting better when played in different positions. We're seeing really, really good signs for the future for them. I feel for West Coast Eagles because they are just decimated with injuries. And I don't wish to put the boots in it because there's boys out there that are trying. They just aren't good enough. If they had the fit players in their list out there on the ground, yeah, they've mismanaged the list in terms of balancing it out with age of their players a little bit, even the mismanaged a little hard terminology. They've let it get away from them with the age of some of their players. I went through last year's West Coast Eagles and saw that they were their 11 core players. They had players who were either 30 or turning 30 in the off season. Of the 11, 9 were in that 30 age bracket. So that's letting it get away from you a little bit. But they've got players who just aren't designed to be AFL players at this point in time, trotting out on the weekend. And that's a horrible place to be for the club, but that's what injury does. But back to the Hawks, Justin Reeves, I felt for him. Jeff Kennett came in and the board, the previous board, makes policy decisions. And then someone like Justin Reeves has to employ or administer the policy decision. So he goes to work and he goes to war. And then you get a situation like when he came up against the Clarkson exit. And as Alistair said, with him in the whole racism allegations, Justin Reeve couldn't have a voice either. He had to stay silent about the way that, you know, Alistair exited the club. And he would have his and he's had to wear some horrible besmirching comments. A lot of the supporter group turned on him. But he's actually employing the policy and decision-making made above him. And it would be a tough, tough place to be. But he has to remain silent. So everybody gets a bit of a say in one way or the other, except for Justin Rees. He can't come out and have his say on what he believes his truth of that matter was. So he's remained silent all the way through and had to wear the hit. So I can see, like, the you know, the adversary he'd made through that exiting of Alistair, he also hasn't had his voice. Alistair hasn't had his voice for the next issue that came up in the investigation clause of racism. So, yeah, I felt for Justin Reeves as well. Seems a pretty good guy, all the contact I've had with him, and very good at his job. So, yeah, he's done the same thing. He needs a bit of a breather and look at the world through a different set of lenses for the next few months.
Three guns, milestones, before I let you go, and three completely different stories, really. Toby Green, game 200. Still side bottom, game 300. Mason Cox, game 100.
Yeah, Mason Cox is a real interest, isn't he? He's I've had a cause and times where I've sat down with him personally and gone through a few footy issues and matters and the way you play in certain positions. Early days with him, just chatted through, and he's such an intelligent fellow. He's he can grasp things very quickly. The good thing about him, even though he's an advanced age for an AFL player, because he joined us late, his body isn't knocked around. So take an extra 3 or 4 years off his actual true age number, and that's the body age of him as an AFL footballer, and playing really good footy. He's giving Collingwood what they'd always wanted, the ability to mark the contested footy. Well, if you're 7 foot, that helps. Who was Toby?
Toby, and Steele.
Toby's one of my favourites. I love the way he plays. It's very difficult to actually not enjoy the way he plays. He reminds me of the type of person every supporter would boo, jeer, hate against when they're watching him play against their team. But in private, they'd walk up to him and say, "Oh, we boo you, but gee, would you like to come to our club?" He's one of those ones you see so much of what you like at your club, but he's Captain Bad Guy when you're against him. And still, side bottom's just a real craftsman, isn't he? Just knows his game, has always been very, very capable of understanding Australian rules football. He was a full forward and a small forward / full forward in the under-18 competition, and has turned into a 300-game midfielder who understands the game and sees the game unfold so, so well. So, yeah, three-star players. No one gets to 300 games without being a champion.
Derm, be great to have you. I better let you go. I know you're heading up to Darwin, so I won't see you in at Fox Footy this weekend, which means those ice creams you've left in the freezer are all ours, that box full.
I've numbered them. I've put little marks on them.
It's all right. We'll do what we'll just take a little nibble and put them back. Great to have you, Derm. We'll talk soon.
See you, mate. Great to talk to you. Bye-bye.
The one and only Dermot Bruton, 5-time day, 5-time night superstar and AFL Nation commentator, thanks to Marnong Estate. Check out Marnong Estate. Heading up there in a couple of weeks for panoramic views of the Macedon Ranges. I can't wait to get there, test out the authentic Italian cuisines and the estate-grown wine tastings at Marnong Estate.